morning. It's Sunday, June 5th.
I'm going to pray Corky might follow or something. We both kind of felt something. So, everyone just sit and let some calmness come.
Yes.
Father,
yes.
We invite you here this morning.
Yes.
We invite you, Jesus, to come and dwell in our presence. We invite your angels to come. We invite your ministering spirits to come and fill this place this morning, Lord.
Yes, that's right.
And just minister, Lord, and we want to minister back to you. We want to know your truth, so let your word reveal it to us today and the days to come. And let your mighty, mighty spirit be there right now with Pablo and the family.
Yes,
Lord. And Lord, we're just believing you to lift him up and heal him. We're believing for you to heal Charlie completely. We're believing for you to touch Charlotte and just rid her of any of these maladies that have been bothering her. We ask you to set Susan completely free.
Thank you.
And we ask you to touch Keith.
Yes, Lord.
Restore his strength, Lord. Just restore his strength. And Lord, we ask you to just restore Chuck. Restore Chuck, Lord. And touch Barb mightily, Lord. Touch her so that she doesn't have to be on any medications, Lord. Just do that miraculous thing, Lord. And give Glenn his equilibrium. Lord, we want to be your people.
Yes.
We want to be your people. So, Lord, as I was thinking of this prayer earlier, I got the feeling, I couldn't see it, but I could just feel like angels just lined up all inside of here and ministering spirits, just whatever they do, floating, whatever. And so, Lord, we accept that, and we appreciate you, and we love you in Jesus' name.
God is truly here today because that's exactly what God had given me to share this morning. That we are to invite him, to invite the Holy Spirit into our midst, to be working powerfully, to allow us to see the Spirit, experience the Spirit, and walk in the Spirit. Lord, we just ask that you continue to bless your people and to show us signs and wonders, Lord and God. Have your hand upon each and every one of us and to stop focusing, keep our minds off of the short term and keep our minds on the eternal, Lord God. Lord, we know that we're going to be tested here, but Father, we just ask that you would just pour your Spirit out in a mighty and powerful way to each of us for that which you know, which we need, and to meet our needs.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Bonnie, I couldn't think of any major things. You're doing pretty good.
Bonnie's just
so
like a Timex
one. I didn't mean to leave you out of that, but you just seem fine.
Just keeps on, takes a licking and keeps on ticking. That's our Bonnie.
Our precious Bonnie.
Precious Bonnie. Yeah, fall down the stairs, break a neck. Not a problem. Not a problem. Get that out of here.
The angels are all around.
Amen. But I was truly blessed when Kim was bringing that, because that is exactly what God was on my heart. And
Gloria,
unfortunately, or fortunately, Ken said it much better than I could have. So it was good. I'm sitting there going, my Lord, that's exactly what I had. So when two or more are gathered, he is here. And when two or more are gathered and I'm seeing the same thing in the Spirit, you have to feel really excited about what God can do.
And just to ask you, is there any reason why all of that can't be? No.
No?
No.
God can do it.
So we just need to keep, I personally have gotten to believe in angels a lot over the last, I don't know how many years, just knowing, I just know they're there. I just know they're real, and they're there.
Yeah.
And ministering spirits, it says he has ministering spirits, so invite them. I mean, that's, God wants to be with us, and he wants us to be with him, you know, and it's a two-way thing. He wants us, you know, God, I think, within himself, put a need for his people, you know, I mean, and he can do that to himself, you know, that he can feel a need to want his people, so we want to be his people, along with many others. We're not the exclusive, of course, but, you know, we only pray for us that are here, of course. And by the way, Lord, extend that whole thing to anyone who listens, wherever they are, if they do listen here on these tapes and whatever, that would be in their presence also.
Amen.
Yes, that they would be blessed.
I think before he sends us out, he sends out angels before us to prepare the way for us.
For both, right? Prepare the way and prepare us.
Yes, both.
Yeah.
Yes.
I
felt it in the past when I felt to go and do something. I have felt the way's ready. I don't have to worry. I just need to go.
I think the revelation is we need to ask him.
And believe.
And right. Amen. And believe. Ask with belief and faith. He will do these things.
The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And it also says that faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word of God. And so, there's a scripture that says that Abraham believed God. It doesn't say he believed in God. A lot of people believe in God.
Yeah.
But he believed God. Mm-hmm. And it was counted to him for righteousness. And so there is this thing. It's kind of like, how do you believe God? What's the foundation of, what's the basis for it? Is the Word of God the basis for it?
Mm-hmm.
And we can easily misunderstand what we read. And yet, I'm beginning to realize that God wants me to believe him more than believe in him.
Yeah.
He wants me to believe him. And what does he want me to do? What is his? What are his conditions? Because that's what matters. And I can say, this is what God wants you to do. That doesn't mean anything. Is that what God wants? Just because I said it? See, that's one of the fallacies of today's church. Ministers take it upon themselves to assume or to say, well, this is what God wants. And maybe yes, maybe don't. But more than likely, maybe don't. You know what I mean? And so somehow we have to hear the voice of God in such a way that we really know what he wants. And I would listen to the scriptures, like last night again. I listened all night long, or whenever I was awake, I was listening to them. And the scriptures are taken on a different, I was going to say a different language, that's not really the way to put it, but a different substance. A different, you know, I'm I'm beginning to feel like this is really God that I'm listening to.
When you said believe God, I was saying, and if you believe God, then you believe what he says or said.
Exactly.
And where is that?
Exactly.
What you said. It's in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you brought two. I was at when I was through praying with Steph and Corky, and I thought, oh, I didn't mention we need faith. So I'm glad you brought that in there because, you know, faith is a major, major substance of what happens to us.
Is a substance of things hoped for,
mm-hmm.
and evidence of things not seen.
Right.
And those are some big items.
Yeah.
Big concept.
You know, the evidence of things not seen. We saw a couple things last Sunday, and one of them was with Josh's deliverance. It was a real deliverance. But the thing, and I told Corky, that the thing that struck me was Sue's insistence to have him pray for it. And what that is the anointing. That's an anointing. And you don't recognize it, but I have seen that. Especially when I first got saved, and not so much in myself, but in other people, you know, they knew what to do, and I've seen a little of that myself, but God steps in and gives us understanding, and we need to step on it, and we need to go with it, and. By going with it, we get the end time or the end result, and there was an end result Sunday, and Josh came over to the house. Was it Tuesday night? I think.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
And by his testimony and by his whatever it was, God did some good things in him. You know.
Yeah, it was apparent that.
Yeah.
He had had a deliverance, and then he kept saying it to him.
Yeah.
He kept claiming it.
Yeah.
Mm, great. That's what you're supposed to do. You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, I know Jill said the other day that the kids were misbehaving, and Josh would used to just holler and yell at them and all that, and he said when they were misbehaving, he just calmly talked to them.
Yeah.
Instead of blowing up. You know, so.
I don't think I've ever seen that happen before.
He said that too.
Yeah.
He recognized it also.
Oh, but yeah, I mean, living next door to Josh, you get to know Josh pretty well.
And the kids.
I'm not judging him, I'm just saying.
No,
I've done the same thing when I was a young man too, you know. But yeah.
I think the Lord placed them in that house for a reason.
Yes.
It's been in his plan all along. And I guess that's the reason why we're all still here.
There's a reason.
But yeah, it makes me happy to see someone be delivered and see a change in them because sometimes it's a difference of night and day in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And their salvation.
But the real glory in all that is the fact that they live in the deliverance and not go back.
Yeah.
You know, that's when there's the real glory.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I asked, when was it? Probably today, Sunday or Saturday? Maybe yesterday. I was getting, the devil's trying to throw some thoughts in, you know, with Papa and different stuff, and I rebuked it after I realized what was going on, and I repented to the Lord for even starting to accept some of it, so I went and shared a little bit of that with Charlie, and then Gene walked over and he said, Gene is having well, her body won't won't accept certain things with what's going on. And without thinking, I said, well, we got to pray that her body does accept those things. And he goes, yeah, we don't have to just let that not be. So, you know, I mean, and you know, you got to be careful here because, you know, you remember the whole big movement of a positive attitude can do everything. But I know, I mean, I talk to my body a lot, and it can have an effect. Because they say what your brain is what feeds your body as far as, you know. So if you just say, hey, you know, you need to start stepping up here, quit this, you know. So that's what we got to pray that for Jean. She's got to know that too. And it was the thing, you know, it was little things like, well, maybe Mama's going to, no, I don't want to have those kind of thoughts. That's ridiculous. That's of the enemy, you know. He's God wants that man and for a reason, and so something's going to happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't bring him, and he didn't bring all of us here to all of a sudden now just dump us and walk away, you know. There's a reason.
And we don't want to limit God.
No. Doesn't matter what the physical, like, he can look like this and that and whatever, and in a twinkling of an eye, God can change it, you know.
Well, and I've even found in my limitations of my body being older, and what God wants me to move, I can move.
Yeah.
I may not be able to move now, but if God wants me to move, I just trust Him and He moves me.
Glory.
Yes.
Evidence of things not seen. In the world, it's not evidence. Think about it. Show me your evidence. They can't see it. Well, then it's not evidence.
This is the evidence.
It's like, totally. Wait a minute.
But if you don't believe in this, it's not going to be evident.
That's right.
So, there you go. Believe again. Faith.
Yeah, and whether they want to hear it or not, then they won't have the truth.
Right.
And like the spirit, which is like the wind, you can't see it, but you can see the results of it. And we need to keep asking. I think that's the revelation that came to me today. We need to ask.
Yes.
We just can't sit back. It's like, I need everything I need to know, but I don't need to read the Bible. I already did. You know, we need to go, if we believe, as the scripture says, to diligently, you know, to think upon it day and night. That's not a passive thing. That's an active thing.
Yeah.
And we need to actively ask for God in all that we do. And I'm guilty of not doing that. I can do better.
Well, speaking of the Bible, you know, and even though I've read it, you know, because I've read it, I'm going, oh, I didn't know that was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And how often have we heard that, you know? And for me, that happened a little bit when I had women's prayer meeting, and Tuesday, and they were talking about the donkey that talked. And I'm going, what? Where's the donkey that talked? I didn't know there was a donkey. I was just like, I was all beside myself. And it's back in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's Balaam's, am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Balaam's donkey. And what was so really interesting about this is because I'm reading this, and this guy is not necessarily doing exactly what he should be doing.
He is a prophet too, I think, isn't he?
I don't know. Is he a prophet?
Description.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's in Numbers 22, and it's a verse. It starts in 21, and I think it goes through 41. Because it talks about the whole story. Because he just got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the Moabite officials. So, but God was angry when he went. So I don't know what his role was. I don't know that much about him. Do you know Keith? Was he a prophet or something? Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But
where are you?
Oh, Numbers. What did I say? 22 and verse 21. And I mean, I'm not going to read it because it's the whole thing. But what? And I didn't know if it was just common back then that animals talked. But so.
I don't think so. It was a special deal.
Yeah, but he didn't seem to, you know. So you know, when you get over to I don't know, just paraphrasing, but God was angry with him. And they got on the road, and Balaam. He was riding on his basically trusted donkey that he always rode, you know, and his servants were with him. And it was the donkey that saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned off the road and into a field. And Balaam beat him to get back on the road. You know, I mean, he was like, you know, and the angel of the Lord stood in the narrow path of the vineyards with walls on both sides. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat the donkey again. And the angel of the Lord moved down ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn either to the right or left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it lay down under Balaam, and he was very angry and beat it with its staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" Now, if the donkey started talking to me, I would be like, oh my gosh. So that's why I wasn't sure if this was
runaway.
You know, and he just seemed, and Balaam just answered, you know, "Well, you made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would have killed you right now." And I'm going, but this donkey is talking to you. I'm going, it's a talking donkey. You know. And he goes, am I not your own donkey, the one who's you've always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? And, you know, no. And then the Lord finally opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword down. So he bowed low and fell. And the angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is reckless, a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared it." And I'm assuming when he says spared it, spared the donkey.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, so the donkey was instrumental in saving this man's life by, you know, looking ahead and seeing you know.
This man, the prophet's wife.
Yeah, I mean, so, and I don't really know if there's, I mean, it just impressed me. I'm going, this donkey cared that much about him, that he did everything, and he took a beating. And they made a point of saying three times. So I wonder if there was some, you know, like, three times, you know, the donkey even said, three times you've beaten me. And the angel even said, why have you beaten them three times? And the fact that, how much more can we do for our brother and sister by seeing in front of them something that the Lord gives us and speaking to them than watching them fall down a path that's maybe not correct or right or something. But if you see the angel in front of you, I take the beating, I guess, to stop and help somebody, you know, like the donkey did. And then I probably would turn and say, why did you beat me three times? But but it just impressed me that this donkey, who, and it doesn't say how long, I mean, it's just, the donkey had been with him forever, and he's like, I've never done this to you. Why are you thinking that I'm doing something different? The donkey was his friend, his companion, his true steed. Anyways, it's just, there was this.
You were truly inspired by that.
I was. I was just, because I leave the donkey talk, and I'm like, no.
That's rather where the donkey in the movies, you know, they're talking about being a
Shrek.
Shrek movies.
Shrek movies with the donkey talking.
The donkey.
But verse 28 starts out, says, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. So.
Oh, I only have donkey in here.
But my point is that they're saying it's not normal.
Yeah.
I mean, he already sent an angel, but then the Lord moved to allow the donkey to speak so that
the whole thing is, I mean, Balaam, this Balak, king of the Moab, I think. Moab, right? Or young Moab was a person also. Anyway, he wanted Balaam to come and curse this, I think, army that was coming.
That's right, yeah. That was
And Balaam was tuning into the Lord because he said, no, the Lord hasn't told me I'm not going to do that, and I'll go wait for him to speak to me. So during the night, each night he would speak to Balaam, and Balaam would come back and say, no, can't go with you, and stuff. So I'm sure Balaam was feeling pretty confident, that he was doing everything the Lord wanted, and then when that donkey, but he hadn't seen the angel. That
right.
Was the thing.
That was the donkey,
But then he repented.
Yes.
He said, oh, I have sinned to the angel. He said, I have sinned.
And I hope the donkey was okay.
The donkey was fine.
But I mean that, it's sort of like that. The donkey loved this guy so much that he's like.
There's a good message in that. I mean, you see your brother or sister struggling, do you help them or not?
Even if they beat you?
Even if they might come in.
I'll tell you, I can relate to Balaam because I've been on a horse or whatever that didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. And it upsets you. And you start using the reins or whatever.
Start putting your will on his will.
Yeah. Now,
yeah.
If he's seeing an angel, then you ain't going anywhere because that animal isn't going to move.
So, I guess so. Basically, that's what happened is it just so impressed me that even though that angel was sitting there ready to kill him.
Yeah, he said, if the donkey hadn't spoke to you, I was going to kill you.
that the Lord intervened by sending a talking donkey. So whatever it takes, it's like the Lord's always willing to give us, I guess that's kind of like the person on the top of the flooded area on the house going, Lord, save me, and he sends everything. you know, he cared so much about him that he sent this donkey, his favorite donkey, and he said, hey.
He used him.
Yeah.
Well, the angel says, behold, I have come out to stand against you,
yeah.
He's talking to Balaam,
yeah.
Because your way is perverse before me.
Yes.
So he was no longer following in the
no.
Lord's will, evidently.
But the donkey was.
Well, the donkey knew enough not to go against the angel that he could, and he could see.
So he was willing to take the beating. You know,
mm-hmm.
he
3 times.
Yes.
And the donkey could see him, and Balaam couldn't.
I know.
Right.
And then later he did see him.
Yes.
Of course,
but I mean, I, you know, there's so many good messages in that. I mean, you might not, you know, it's kind of, it ties in with, you know, the you see the splinter in the eye, but you don't have the plank in your own that you can't see. I mean, there's a lot of things that just tie into that. Like, you might not realize that you're not following God, and other people can clearly see it. And there's a donkey going, but because I'm your faithful donkey, I'm not gonna, even though you're giving me a hard time about it. I mean, you see a friend. I mean, I can think of a situation. You see a friend who's, I don't know, an alcoholic or pick a thing, and they don't see it. But you're their friend, and you try and bring it to them, and they just get angry at you for trying to help them see what you can see, but they can't see yet. You know, and there's that donkey just willing to take the bad in order to try and allow the good to finally come out of it. And then God, I honored that, because then eventually he saw that angel.
It's just not that the donkey spoke, but he spoke with intelligence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, if a donkey or a cat, dog, whatever, spoke to me and asked me a question, the first answer, what did you talk to me? you would doubt it, you know, if you think you're hearing things.
Yeah, and they didn't show this in the Bible that he went, wow, you're talking to me, donkey. You know, I mean, it was like, well, you know, I mean, if he just went on having a conversation. And I didn't know if this was a common thing.
I don't know.
And then Balaam answers him with a question back.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah. Like it is a common thing. You know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, God had been talking with Balaam, so he's been hearing from God. He's probably thinking, well, yeah, anybody can be talking, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
Maybe
God talked to me. I guess a donkey can too, you know.
Yeah, maybe he was less surprised at what God was doing than we would be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I suspect it's not really important whether he was surprised or not. The conversation was what was being recorded for our benefit.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But he might have been like, say, what the? There might have been one of those.
I guess it just proves that God uses anything and everything.
That's a good way to look at that.
Yeah. I mean, in the angel, it seems like the angel was ready to kill him. And in a sense, God intervened by saying, okay, donkey, talk. So you can save this guy's life. You know, because the angel was the one standing there and said, I would have killed you.
God was very angry with him. That's
yes.
why the angel was going to stand
right.
up for God.
Right. Mm-hmm. But then somehow God must have just said, okay, I'm going to give you one more try.
I
didn't
go that far. But there were 2 servants there, too.
Yep, there were 2 servants there. Yeah,
and they didn't say anything, or
well, whether they saw an angel or that,
or
heard.
We don't know. It's kind of like the servants on the road with Peter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't hearing the same things that Peter on Damascus Road.
Right.
Paul.
When he wrestled with me. Yeah. Because all that they knew is all of a sudden he's stopping and going, I can't see. And they're like, oh, what changed in the last minute? It's interesting. I don't know. I was just fascinated with the donkey.
The donkey talk.
I know. I guess I'm a simple tool, but, you know.
I ran into a scripture. I was listening to it, and anyway, and it answered a question that I wasn't even asking. But in Galatians 1:19, this is Paul talking about his experiences. But of the apostles. Saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. So it calls one of his brothers an apostle. In so looking it up, I realized that it talks about a number of places it talks about the Lord's brothers or brother. That's kind of interesting. Up until the book of Acts, I was kind of under the impression that Jesus and his family kind of ignored him, you know. And then I saw they were all in the upper room. Mm. Now, he had at least one or two sisters. And I don't know if they were in the upper room. And we don't read into any of these things. They were in the upper room. They had to be because his family was in the upper room. So at some point, James and Jude, and I don't remember what the other one's names are, but you could tell from Jude that he was pretty gung-ho about the things of God.
Well, it never does talk about, I mean, Jesus was born, you know, and then really the next time you hear anything is when he was on the caravan with his parents and he left to go in the temple at 12 or something like that.
Yeah.
I always just assumed that, you know, because Jesus was born of a woman, that he played and fell down and cut his knee, and, I mean, he just lived a life like that, but there was something more in him. That maybe his brothers and sisters, I mean, because at what point did he want to, I'm going to stop and go about start my father's work by going to the temple, when I'm sure he could have asked his brothers and sisters, you want to go to the temple with me? And they would have been, yeah, why? I mean, it wouldn't have seemed like a common thing. So at some point, this child who was just a normal, everyday kid, but they knew he had to have something special about him. And at what point did it start to manifest itself?
At 30 years old when he began ministry, he already had his brothers and sisters.
Well, right, yeah.
And so, I mean, they must have been just little guys.
Well, like Barb said, I mean, Jesus never sinned. I mean, he wasn't pushing somebody down as a child playing or taking something away from him. He was, you know,
a very common
child.
God said,
he must have just been.
This is my son whom I am well pleased.
Yeah.
that would have been everything up to that point, you know.
Yeah. Because he would have been the oldest in his family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's see, I think it's Luke, the fourth chapter.
You know, that's an interesting point all of a sudden. You know, we say we never hear anything about Joseph, but he was around long enough to have, like, four or five kids.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Five or more.
Yeah.
I was just reading, doing a little, because, so, Matthew, well, I know, I was just, the one above,
and in the, where he talked in the, Luke 4:18, they said, is this not Joseph's son? So it appears that at some point, if Joseph died, it had to be probably in that area somewhere. Or they would have, would they still say Joseph's son, or would they?
Might, you know.
Even though he was dead?
Well, either way, I guess they would probably say it.
Well, I think we're trying to establish he can't be the son of God, isn't he Joseph's son? And I think that's where that was coming from. I was Matthew 13:55 lists his four brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judah. And then
James,
Joseph, Simon, and Judas.
Okay, so James and Judas are the ones that the last two epistles.
And then, speaking of sisters, it mentions Matthew 13:56, where it says, his sisters, are they not all with us? And the narration here goes, there must have been at least two, probably more, and apparently married. But, and it goes on then, say, these brothers and sisters aren't mentioned at all until the Lord begins his ministry. And are first mentioned as going with his mother and himself to Capernaum in John 2:12. So, I mean, to the wedding. So, it's like, he had brothers and sisters, grew up with him, but they really weren't part of the important thing for salvation. So, until the brothers started traveling with him in his ministry. So.
Well, that kind of does a number on the Virgin Mary, does it?
Yeah. Maybe just a little bit.
Clearly, Jesus was the eldest brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the eldest half brother.
Yeah, eldest half brother. Right. Yeah. Good point.
So I would imagine then that the brothers of Jesus and probably his sisters were all probably busy witnessing to people along with everybody else.
After the upper, or after the upper room?
Yeah, after the day of Pentecost.
Yeah, sure they were.
But
we don't hear a lot of these things, but you know, when Paul was being, when he was, they were going to lock him up, or they locked him up, and his sister's son overheard the Jews that they were going to kill Paul, and the son came in and talked to the
magistrate or something.
Yeah, somebody.
Yeah, it was over Paul.
So if that's the case, then there's a good chance the sister's son or the sister had some relationship with Paul and with the Lord. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's,
you don't see these things, but there's a lot of things that you don't see, you know?
I was just thinking, I guess if they put everything in there, the Bible would be like this big and no one would read it. Or bigger, yeah. I go, yeah.
And all the things recorded couldn't fit.
Because when we get to heaven, I'll be like, hi, I'm Jesus' brother, half-brother,
soul. I'm his adopted daughter.
Well, we're related.
As Ken was saying, you know, they obviously knew something was different about their half-brother Jesus. But they knew, they couldn't deny when he was crucified and then rose again. I mean, they had no doubt that he was crucified and died. I mean, it's one thing to know about someone, but when it's a family member you've spent years and years with, and you've watched them die, and then you see him around later, you go, okay, if there was ever any lingering doubts, that pretty well wipes those away. The road has been cleared out like you are.
And I'm sure they were taught by Jesus even as a young child.
Yeah.
I'm sure his words.
I'm sure things were said that became, well, even Jesus said, you know, you won't understand. And then after the death, he said, now we understand what he meant by it. So I'm sure there were a lot of things that just were like, yeah, it's really interesting. I don't know what you're trying to tell me.
When he was there and he says, go into Jerusalem, wasn't it? And go into this upper room, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't he tell him to go there?
Yeah.
Well, all the brothers and sisters must have been in that group standing there when he said that, because they all ended up there. Or I suppose some of them could have been, hey, your brother just said, so come on. However, they ended up in the upper room anyway.
They got the word.
So they had to be close in proximity to his ministry.
Yeah.
I can imagine his mother saying, okay, all you guys, be there.
Yeah.
Well, kind of like at the wedding where she told him, do whatever he says to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
I bet you get the feeling that he would have called Joseph his dad growing up.
Absolutely.
Well, never called Mary his mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure he referred to Joseph as dad.
Yeah.
I mean, he was his kind of adopted son. So.
Right. And I don't think so much half or step or all those things pertain much back then, because often you'd wind up raising your brother or sister's kids as your own because they got killed, you know, I mean, or something. It was just more common to just have a whole bunch of people. And
well, even in the Old Testament, the men would take on their brother's wife.
Right. Yeah, to carry on.
To carry on the name and the family. And so
it
was different back then.
Yeah.
Everybody looked out for everybody.
I think so. That's very true. And whereas we turn away now.
There's no other sister.
But yeah, it's interesting how our lives are and what we're living without seeing, and what they saw and lived how they lived.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling when I get to heaven, I'm going to see that donkey.
I hope you get to talk to him.
Here
I have a quick little question. Cremation. That's not addressed in the Bible. It's a program.
You know what? I was on mute on my my YouTube thing, and there was a guy that said, "Is cremation in the Bible?" Well, it was 14 minutes long, and I didn't even listen to it. I should have probably just see what that it was some person's concept on it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I didn't listen, so I don't know if he had basis or not. I know my feelings, but that's been discussed before. So
I'm not worried about it, but it's just because so many people have been doing cremation, and I had my brother cremated too. I kind of think our spirit is so separate from our flesh that, and God can do anything.
And then carry it to the some bones were pretty important.
Yeah.
Okay, Moses and whoever.
Okay, just a thought. Do you think about it during the meeting?
Yeah, no, I've thought about that. Personally, I'm going to be buried.
What's that?
Personally, I'm going to be buried.
Okay.
Just me.
I think what's going to happen is eventually there won't be an option. I mean, I think they're going to just make cremation because they're going to run out of room. You know, it's going to be one of those things.
There's a lot of room.
Well, think about it and pray about it, and I'd like to know people's thoughts.
I'm not the place. I hope that I'm not judging anybody on whichever way they go. You know, I don't want to do that.
Wait. I guess what's funny about, not funny, okay, but it's sort of like when people talk about it, they go, well, I don't care what you do because I'm dead. You know, I mean, I'm out of here. I'm already in heaven. It doesn't matter. Do whatever you want. Skip. I mean, like, well, I think, like, Michelle talked about her mom and dad are cremated. Mm-hmm. And they're on her mantle. And she's going, but don't you want a headstone or something? And she's going, no, it's just too expensive. And she goes, well, what happens when we're gone? I just put us out by a tree. I mean, that's just how some people, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer.
Okay.
I mean.
And they rose out of a grave.
Yeah, but
what about the people that are burned in a fire?
Yeah, there's that too.
I mean,
we don't have a choice in that.
Mm-hmm. Go down on a ship.
I think if you research it, you find one verse in the Bible, and I can't remember where it is, but there's one verse that mentions burning. But that's very different, though.
Because, I mean, I'm just pulling up stuff in Joshua, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all of Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. And after they had stoned them, they burned them. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that was the people did the stones choice.
No, not at all. Yeah.
So that's where grace and mercy comes in.
Yeah, I mean, in Micah, in 1 Corinthians, if you look it up, there's just, it seems to be that, but I don't. You're never going to see the word cremation in the Bible,
okay?
Because it's a modern word. That's what they're saying.
Just curious.
Okay.
So you're not going to, the ashes aren't going to be raised up anyway.
Like the dead buried the dead. Yeah.
Amen. We love you all.